This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. Today I'm here with Parvin, and we're going to be talking about the challenge of entrepreneurs, particularly in India.
Hi, this is Parvin. Thanks, Ian, for having me on your podcast. A lot of the quick background about myself. I've been a serial tech entrepreneur for the last 18 to 19 years. Developed a passion for computer science literally in 89, back when there was no internet. Computers with these sort of green monochrome terminals, 5 1/4 inch floppy drives, no Windows, MS-DOS and GW Basic. I literally would spend all my time in the computer room, several hours in a day, after school, etc. Back then itself, I decided that I wanted to start out something on my own, run my own business. It was an entrepreneurship bug always. I think partly also because of a large number of biographies that I read between the age of 10 to 15, which as a practice, I continue to still many, many biographies until today, but I was really inspired to start something on my own, and I knew it had to be in computer science. So me and my younger brother, who's 2 years younger than me, we actually dabbled around in doing consulting, setting up networks for people before the internet came in. We set up our own mini BBS, bulletin board systems, so sort of dial-in mini version of the internet before the internet came in. And when the internet came into the country, we were like, okay, we want to do something on the internet. We started doing sort of designing some websites and things like that, and then eventually started our first business, which was in hosting and domain name space. Grew that and exited that subsequently. Started another business also in the course. So apparently been running 11 different companies to give you a number across the last 18 years, of which we've exited now 7 of them in 2014 and 16 respectively.
We live in a time where people are now being persuaded to become entrepreneurs and start their own businesses more so than at any other point in history. And that's partly been a change in the way companies employ, changes with technology in particular. How challenging is it for many entrepreneurs to really get started? They've got a great idea, but there's a massive gap between having an idea and going forwards.
Absolutely, and I think, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I think entrepreneurship is becoming more and more common. I think there's a couple of reasons for that. One, fortunately, I think it's becoming more and more glamorous. There was a point in time when it was actually almost a social stigma, at least in India, in fact, to even be an entrepreneur, because this notion of taking risk, it wasn't very appealing, and people pursued this sort of safety and security in terms of jobs. And now, sort of taking on that risk and engaging in entrepreneurship, being a geek even, is becoming more glamorous, which is, I think, helping the space. I think it's also interesting, another aspect that I think has made it, in many ways, more common now, is much more easier to be an entrepreneur now than it was 20 years ago, in fact, for a multitude of reasons. And I'll talk about the tech space because I'm familiar with that. Availability of capital is easier. Availability of resources, manpower, etc. is a bit more easier. Cost of starting a business actually is dramatically dropped. I remember 15 years ago, if you were to start a software company, it would take a substantial amount of investment. Building the product could take years. Getting it out to market could take years. Now, literally, single individual on an extremely underpowered machine in 1 month can build a prototype, put it up on the same infrastructure that is available to the likes of Amazon, Facebook, etc. for less than $18 to $20 a month. Get the first initial set of customers by spending a few hundred dollars on Google AdWords and Facebook a month and test it out. And so the whole concept of infrastructure, marketing, prototyping has become so much cheaper and so much easier that I can probably run through 5 business ideas in 5 months and get to a product market fit that would earlier cost a few million dollars, a large team of people, buying servers and hardware, buying data center space, hiring salespeople to go out there and market the product and sell the product. Like, that whole process has now become so much more accessible and abstracted out that it's just much more easier to start a business and fail and pivot and repeat that process multiple times.
That fails quite an important part, isn't it? When you look at entrepreneurs today, we get very seduced by the billionaire entrepreneurs who appear, but the vast majority of people out there are doing it again and again and again. Some are just about paying their rent, others are reaching a lifestyle they're comfortable with. How do you think people struggle with the understanding that failure isn't a failure, it's just a lesson on the way? Because it sounds nice as a set of words, but when you're on the receiving end, it doesn't perhaps feel so good.
I completely agree. It's interesting. I was part of YGL, the Young Global Leaders Association, and the very first and kind of the only summit that I attended in San Francisco. I was a professor who was talking about the whole world typically tends to be curious about why a large chunk of the tech industry is literally born out of that 40 square mile radius that we call Silicon Valley. And, you know, people talk about availability of talent with 3 different universities, Stanford, Berkeley, etc. People talk about availability of capital and things like that. So he talks about this one important point, which is that unlike almost any other location worldwide, you find that in the Valley, people actually celebrate failure. There'll be entrepreneurs who failed once, twice, thrice, and they'll still get funding and encouragement and push, and they still have that inner confidence that, oh yeah, this is not a failure. And what I love about the Valley is they've actually knocked out the term failure. They now call it pivoting. Nobody ever fails. You always pivot. You know, the first idea didn't work, so I've kind of pivoted, even though it's a completely new business that had no relationship with the previous one. Ties well into what you spoke about, which is the word failure is actually incorrect. Failure signifies a final outcome, which means I'm going to stop at this stage because I failed. The race has ended and I failed. But in entrepreneurship, there's no single point where it's like, oh, I've failed and this journey's over. You have to treat it as an ongoing journey, which means you actually never failed. You only learn another way that you couldn't have succeeded, which has given you more experience to be able to now tackle problems and challenges in a better way. And that framing, I think, is a very cultural thing. If there's a lot of intrinsic elements to it, you have to feel that way. There's also a lot of extrinsic factors, and if you're in that culture, surrounded by like-minded people, you automatically frame it for yourself that way. There's never this notion of failure. It's always stepping stones to success.
I'm glad you brought up culture. Right at the beginning, you said, you know, it's an issue in India. You're going from a risk environment, from an area where people just want to be in a secure job. How is that adapting in Indian culture? This, not just the risk, but I don't have a business today that I had yesterday. What am I going to do tomorrow?
It's actually changed dramatically in the last few years. All the businesses that we've operated, I myself actually been outside of India now for the last 5 or 6 years. I spent more than 8 to 9 months outside the country. But having spent a good part of my time in life there, the last 3 years I've seen a greater change than the 30 years before that. Largely because entrepreneurship has begun to be celebrated, successes have begun to be celebrated. People understand that there's certainly a risk, but the rewards associated are higher. And if you persevere, you'll eventually succeed and learn a lot along the way. And so that risk-taking culture has substantially increased in the last 3 years by, I would say, a factor of more than a few thousand times in comparison to what used to be the case. I remember 4 to 5 years ago, and again, I'm talking about tech space, we would potentially look at 50 to a few hundred startups at max starting out every year. I know in the last 2 years, we've been looking at a run rate of almost 5 to 6 thousand startups every year being launched in some form or the other across India, which is magnitude higher. So it's definitely increased substantially.
When I first came into this business over 30 years ago, everything we did in software was new and shiny. But ironically, all it was doing was replacing a lot of things we did before computers came along. If I look at a lot of startups now, there are very few original ideas. A lot of the big disruption is coming from people looking at established companies and working at how they can do that better and improve it. NetSuite's a very good example. They've absolutely ripped through that ERP space and made a lot of changes. Do you think that that's a lesson that a lot of entrepreneurs still need to learn? That it's not about trying to find something new? Actually, sometimes it's just about doing it faster, cheaper, easier, and better.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily want to put that message out because I strongly believe we need both. There are categories of companies that will provide incremental improvements on status quo, and we certainly need that on an ongoing basis. But we also need this sort of greenfield thinkers that are just thinking out of the box and thinking, oh well, smartphones didn't exist 5 years ago and they do now, so how do I completely disrupt? If payments didn't exist and I had to digitize payments from scratch today using the knowledge that I have today, well, how would I think about that? So we do need, I think, a bit of both. And certainly it depends on what attracts you to what space and things of that. I mean, I know that we've run businesses, again, that have existed in both those spheres. With Flock and with Zeta, we're trying to do things that are relatively new that haven't been done before, spaces that are completely unexplored. And then with Radix and with Big Rock and with Media.net, we've been looking at spaces that existed and we're doing things in a different way and incrementally improving them. And both have their own merit. Arguably, if you're looking at incremental improvements, you may argue that the risks are lower because you're talking about an audience that already exists and you're demonstrably improving the status quo and saying, well, here's a better product. While in a greenfield venture, you may look at a much higher risk because you're looking at educating the audience separately and independently from just, you're creating the market as you go along, but then the rewards are also higher there in comparison.
India's done an amazing job in terms of talent growth. The educational program, particularly at university level around computer science, has churned out far more people than the UK and most European countries have over a similar period. Is that making it easier to find talent for entrepreneurs, or is that actually becoming more of a problem because everybody thinks they can now start their own business?
So I'll address that question with a couple of points. You know, certainly as a function of India's population, it churns out more engineers than most other countries solely because of the size. From a quality of software developers and product managers and designers, etc., we're still far behind, let's say, US, even, you know, Russia, China, etc., largely because India was, again, in the tech space, an outsourcing hub, and you need a very different DNA to be a software developer and sort of an outsourced services company versus a product company. I must say in the last 4 to 5 years, that gap is reducing rapidly, not necessarily because of infrastructural improvements in institutions, but because of the fact that finally the best way to learn is to be an autodidact, and the internet is the best education medium, and a large number of people are taking time out on their own and actually learning stuff on their own, using tools online and things like that. So that certainly is improving, but that gap definitely exists. Second part of the answer with regards to challenges, invariably finding the best of the talent continues to be a challenge everywhere, just because of the fact that, you know, whether in the US or in India or in the UK, there'll be different factors. It's either availability, which might be scarcer in India because of the quality requirement for product companies, or competition, which might be higher in, say, San Francisco. I think the finding quality talent always continues to be a challenge. A large part of our geographic expansion, we have offices in US, now UK, India, UAE, etc. Within India, we have multiple offices. Within the US, multiple offices. Large part of our geographic expansion has always been because of the fact that, hey, we'll go where talent exists. So if you find a bunch of people in Bangalore, we'll just set up an office there. If you find a bunch of people in Delhi, we'll set up an office there. It's just seeking talent. One of the most common things that I get asked is sort of advice that I would give to entrepreneurs. My topmost advice is always hiring the best of the talent, and that's always going to be the most challenging aspect. I still spend about 20 to 25% of my time purely on recruitment-related tasks, even today with more than 1,500 people across the various companies and groups that we own.
How are you seeing gender diversity play out? Technology no longer is about heavy lifts or all those traditional ways by which companies split out what roles were gender orientated. Technology, who cares? As long as you can think it through, you can make it happen. Are you seeing more gender diversity across technology? Is that still a challenge for India?
Gender diversity, we've been consistently improving on that within our organization, but I can tell you some of the hardcore R&D, algorithmic coding, technology, software engineering jobs, we still tend to be in the low double digits when it comes to female versus male. Some of the more marketing, product management, HR, design, we tend to be, I wouldn't say still equal, but still in the higher range where we have enough talent also in terms of women as compared to men.
Corporate social responsibility has become very big with a lot of new startups. Entrepreneurs today have a very different view on what they should be putting back compared to 20 years, 50 years, 100 years ago. In fact, we're almost going back to the approach of old money, who felt it was their job to pour money back into organizations. Do you see entrepreneurs thinking CSR right from the start, or do they wait till they've established their company and then try and make it part of their DNA later?
I do actually see a practice of a large number of companies making CSR, and they might not formally quantify it or formally bucket it as CSR, but this whole notion of giving back, whether it's as simplistic as knowledge sharing and conducting sessions and participating in hackathons and contributing to the community, open source is a big movement, and I see a lot of startups, even tiny ones with, you know, 4 or 5 people, when they've started using open source libraries, contributing back to those libraries and things like that. So I see a lot of that happening on a continuous basis within organizations. As they grow beyond a certain inflection point, giving back in terms of entrepreneurship advice, in terms of monetary resources, whether it's in the form of investments or funding Kickstarter projects or whatever not, giving back to the community in terms of assisting other entrepreneurs and assisting other people. I think in the entrepreneurship and tech communities, there's always been a constant undertow to give back to the community when it comes to knowledge sharing, helping people out. And many of, when you look at Wikipedia or Stack Overflow or any of these sort of crowdsourced communities, you'll see the amount of value that people derive then, the amount of value that people contribute is immeasurable, but people still do it for no particular reward. I think it's a definitive part of the culture, and it's increasing more and more so even at startups stage.
Arvind, thank you for your time this morning.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Ian.